is CNN breaking news. This is CNN breaking news. CNN breaking news. CNN breaking news. CNN breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking, 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 breaking news.
This is Donette Thayer of Game Theory, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Hey, I'm Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. Broadcast every week from 12:10 until 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, live from Spike's Record Rack, 400 Main Street in the village of Catskill. Every Wednesday, I play pop, rock, soul, country, blues, reggae, and other obscurities, and once in a while, a hit or two. Please check out the Bedazzled Radio Hour with Spike Priggin on WGXE 90.7 FM, Accra, every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2.
Wavefarms WGXE is made possible in part by the generous support of Brian of Hollowville, New York. WGXE supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hi everyone, it's Lily, the youth peer leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Good afternoon. This is Jeff Economy, and I'm talking today with Brian Whitney, manager of the newly opened Upstate Midtown Screening Room in Kingston. This theater is a new addition to the esteemed Upstate Films roster, joining their venues in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, and is located at 591 Broadway in Midtown Kingston, just a few doors down from UPAC. For current showtimes, check upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org. This is the first full-time movie theater to operate in downtown Kingston in many years, so we're excited to talk with Brian about how this came to be and what their plans are for the future. First of all, congratulations on getting the theater up and running and getting it going.
Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about how this came to be. I mean, I know that the last theater that was in Kingston was quite a while ago. I was talking to my friend Adam Snyder, who, I don't know if you know him, but he's kind of musician and sort of unofficial Kingston historian and was born and raised here. And he said that there used to be one next to UPAC that was kind of built into UPAC a long time ago.
Yeah, and UPAC itself was a movie theater once upon a time too, when it was called the Broadway Theater. So actually there, I've done a little bit of homework on the history of theaters in Kingston too, just out of my own curiosity. And it seems like there were a number of them. And then there was a conglomerate from the city called the Walter Reed Company that slowly bought all of them. And then in the early 70s, I think the Walter Reed Company went out of business. And as a result, all those theaters were sold, and pretty much all of them were either demolished or repurposed, except for, and including UPAC, which then of course became a concert venue. But I know there was a, where the King's Mall is in Kingston, there was a drive-in theater. And there were a few other ones. There was one in the Rondout, there was one in Uptown. They were kind of all over and then slowly became other things.
Yeah, and now they're all gone. I mean, that's such a telling statement about where the condition of the industry is right now. So it seems particularly brave for you to be going, well, it's time for us to fight that. What was the impetus in stepping into that space?
So Yeah, I think, obviously with COVID, theatrical presentation really hit the bottom in terms of people just not being able to be in a shared space. And I think that's an important part of this project for Upstate, as well, as that, their mission is not only, showing the films, but it's bringing people together. And I think one of the phrases that Paul uses is an alternative town hall, which I really like. The idea that, especially if you're presenting something with somebody who worked on it in person, which we do a lot of events like that, it gives you an opportunity to learn more context about a film, to ask questions about things that you're interested in, and also to share kind of the viewing experience with other people, which is really interesting, and a really valuable experience that you just don't get at home. And that's like we're showing one battle after another in Kingston this week, and just watching audiences go in and then come out seemingly transformed has been a really interesting experience, because it is like a movie that really, one of those movies where you step out of the theater and the world feels a little different. I know certainly I got to see it on Friday morning and I felt that way. And watching that kind of happen in real time as people come out is a really interesting experience. And yeah, just something you can't do without that theatrical experience.
Yeah, I'm a filmmaker myself and a longtime moviegoer, and it's rare for me to have that kind of thing. That's exactly what you described, like going into like Lawrence of Arabia, for instance, and coming out and feeling like, oh, the world is not in completely a desert. How is that possible? I've just been in that world for the last 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's very rare to have something that is so absorbing, and it can be useful to have a docent of sorts to help you with that transition in and out and help process what you are about to see or have seen.
Yeah, I had a more recent experience with that. It was when the movie Uncut Gems came out, and I saw it with my wife at a it was like an outdoor mall type movie theater. And then we tried to do some, it was in the holiday season, we tried to do some Christmas shopping afterwards, and it was like way too intense, and we just had to go home.
That seems to be about the least Christmassy thing I can imagine. Going to
Yeah,
that movie and then
no.
going shopping.
Yeah, not exactly quite seasonally appropriate, but a fantastic film.
Well, first of all, give me an idea of what your regular schedule is going to be.
So we are open Wednesday through Sunday. Right now, we're going to have, kind of this similar films and you'd see at the other two Upstate theaters. Sometimes it'll be overlap, sometimes it'll be totally different. But in that same, independent theater space, I know like there's an eye on playing some political documentaries at Midtown, because that's something that I think makes sense with the Kingston audience. There's a series on Wednesday night that is curated by Kingston Film Foundation, which I'm also involved with, of repertory screenings. And those will be primarily on Wednesdays. There may also be some Sundays through the year as well with those choices. And then on Thursday night, there's a new partnership program that we're developing with various nonprofits in the area to show either work that they've produced or work that aligns with their mission, and to be able to use our space to present in that way. So we had last Thursday, we had Hudsy presenting a series of shorts that they had produced. I believe a week from today, actually, next Thursday, Good Neighbor will be in there, which is a new Kingston zine. And they're presenting a series of Mr. Rogers videos. There's a couple episodes and some shorter clips as well, interspersed. But any, we're trying to be really flexible and open to the use of this space. And if there are other organizations in the Kingston area that have, a mission that aligns with ours and that has an idea of showcasing something but isn't sure exactly what films, we can work with them on that. Or if it's something that we're already showing, like for example, we had a George Orwell documentary. So if you are an organization where free speech is an important part of your mission, maybe you would want to come present one of those screenings or table outside or something like that. All of those kind of possibilities we're really open to. And I think in general, we're considering this space an experiment. And so we don't have like prescriptive guidelines on how we want those partnerships to be. We're definitely open to the possibilities there.
So if you are an individual who's not necessarily aligned with one of these groups, you could also make that approach yourself, and then you would take that on a case-to-case basis.
Yes, I think for the Thursday partner program, we're specifically looking for organizations, but we are on other days or in general, like open to any ideas that the community has for what we could present or what they could present or how we could do that together.
So if someone wanted to approach Upstate Films about doing some sort of program there, whether they were a pre-existing organization with a, you know, a charter or whatever, or just an individual, what is the process that you would go through to engage with that?
I think the best thing that you could do to start is send me an email with your idea. And my email address is brian@upstatefilms.org, Brian with an I. And, you know, just get the conversation going and we can loop everybody in and figure out, you know, a way to approach the idea.
That sounds great. I mean, I love the idea of that being a space that has, you know, built into its firmament, the idea that it's a community organization and community engagement space that seems to be not only have been lacking in recent years, but there seems to be particular need for it right now.
Certainly.
Especially given what's going on politically. I mean, you mentioned that there was maybe more of a political bent in the Kingston scene, but I'm not sure if I see it limited to that. What would you care to elaborate on that a bit?
I just think, and yeah, no, I agree that that's not limited to Kingston. Certainly in our area in general, I think people are very engaged with both local politics and, you know, the national world, as bleak as it may feel at the moment. And, but I think also, like, there's a desire to, like, learn more. And, you know, documentaries are certainly an excellent way to kind of gain greater understanding and context over, you know, historical events and how they loop in with today. And certainly the Orwell documentary that I mentioned did a lot of connection between Orwell's work in the past and where we are now as a society. And obviously, you know, these screenings are not closed off to Kingston residents only. They are, you know, anybody in the area can come. And I think also the other two theaters do a good job of presenting material that connects in that way. Connecting to the present moment is something that's certainly important in the art world and in our world in general at Upstate. So all that is to say, certainly there is a lot of political engagement in Kingston too, on both that local and national levels. And I think that's something that, you know, we want to accommodate with our programming.
Just for reference, how many seats does this theater have?
41.
41.
So it is a very small room. It's an interesting room because it was a barbershop. And, you know, it isn't quite four right angles. It's, you know, 8.5-foot ceilings, like a list of things that when you looked at them, you would say, this is not ideal for a screening room. And I think, you know, we came up with some really novel ways to circumvent some of those problems. Like, for example, with an 8.5-foot ceiling, how do you project over people's heads without their heads being on screen?
Right.
Well, rear projection is the solution there. So it is actually a rear projection system with an ultra short throw lens I think it's about 5.5 feet from the projector to the screen. So you get like full size theatrical presentation, but without having to, you know, a loss of quality because, you know, somebody tall sits in the back row.
Yeah, it seems like it's got a connection to that classic micro cinema thing where, you know, that was a big movement, particularly. You probably remember, but in the, you know, around the turn of the century, there were a lot of small theaters that were similar size, similar scope. I had a film that played in one at in the Northwest the weekend after 9/11. And it was something where we were considering just calling off the screening because we thought no one's going to want to come out and see a movie. And I contacted the organizers and they said, no, actually people are thirsting for this. They want some sort of thing to have a community about. And it went really well. And I've always been impressed by that sort of attitude about, well, this is not just about people showing up to see a movie. It's about this kind of enforced intimacy. Did that play a part in your decision?
I mean, part of the decision to move forward with this space is also, you know, related to that lack of existing theater spaces in Kingston, which is, you know, a big hurdle, whereas pretty much every surrounding town has at least one old theater to be renewed. You know, Saugerties and Woodstock and Rhinebeck and Rosendale. But Kingston doesn't really have that space, so something new needed to be created. But to speak to your point, too, I think there's, you know, obviously a big difference between, you know, say, for example, putting 40 people in UPAC, which is 1,500 seats.
Right.
You don't get that cozy togetherness type of feeling. Whereas 40 people in a 41-seat room, you know, everybody's kind of in it together. And that really does something. I remember very early in the Kingston Film Foundation project, we had a screening of Robert Altman's The Player at an art gallery, Headstone Gallery in Uptown. And there were, I think there were 50 people there, you know, and just on folding chairs on the floor of an art gallery, but everybody being together in that space and like laughing and just like experiencing the film was this really like special moment that I don't think I'll ever forget, where it was just like, I don't know, it felt like we had created this community there for those 2 hours. And that was really a special moment. And that's something that I think we're eager to replicate at this new space now, is this sort of creation of a kind of de facto community experiencing art together for those couple hours.
I think that's a great thing. Can you tell me a little bit more about the genesis and the mission of the Kingston Film Foundation? Because I've been aware of you for a while, but I would like to have a better idea of the specific scope that you have in mind.
Sure. So Kingston Film Foundation started at the beginning of 2024. I worked for the Bardavon and UPAC and had been curating their film series since they reopened post-COVID. And I also had done a few independent screenings around Kingston at some smaller venues. And then my daughter was born, and it became very difficult for me to run that kind of operation all by myself. At the same time, I had a group of friends who I had met through that screening series who were interested or wanted to see if I was interested in potentially incorporating and trying to do it in a bigger way. So it was like kind of a perfect timing to switch to a more organization-based model. So we started in the beginning of 2024. We originally planned to have 10 screenings in the first year. I think we ended up doing 23. Because there was so much demand for it. Like instantly, as soon as we started doing it, we realized that like there was like an audience in Kingston that was really hungry for the opportunity to see movies in like a space. So we did pop-up screenings, and we've been doing pop-up screenings at a variety of locations all over Kingston, and even a couple outside, in the surrounding, you know, the greater Hudson Valley area. And then at some point at the beginning of this year, Paul from Upstate and I had started talking about this space that they were planning and the potential for us to collaborate with them on showing something there on a consistent basis. And then, you know, that conversation evolved to the, you know, and we ended up with this the Wednesday plan, which we're currently embarking on. And that's really exciting for us. You know, as much as we love doing the pop-up screenings, I think having every screening be like at a different location, at a different time, at a different date became challenging from a marketing standpoint in terms of getting a consistent audience to come out. And also, you know, we would have our screening and we would set up, and then a half hour after the movie ended, it was like we were never there. So having a place that's like a little bit more of a solid base, you know, we have a consistent night, we have a consistent location. You know, that allows us to sort of build our audience up more a bit. We know we have our regulars at KFF who are very devoted and come to the various things we do all around. And I would love to build on that too. And I think this is an, you know, an opportunity to do that. And also just to, you know, we have a kind of a lower AV tech setup than what's available in the screening room right now, which is like very, you know, the picture quality is very good. It's 7.1 surround sound, so it's like sounds really great. Just a great place to see a movie. And I think the small size actually makes everything feel a little bit bigger audiovisually, if that makes sense.
Sure,
So
sure.
it's definitely like we're presenting movies in higher quality, which I certainly appreciate. And just having that, you know, consistent home base is also really appealing.
Yeah, I know from my own experience that trying to do sort of a series of anything without a set home is really difficult. You're basically reinventing the wheel from scratch every time, and it's a lot of work, and it serves you and the audience so much better to have a place where they know they can go every week or at some preordained interval that the thing is just going to be there.
No, definitely. Yeah. So obviously it's a, you know, new endeavor for us. So we're not quite, you know, we just opened 2 weeks ago. So we're not quite reaping the benefits of that consistency yet, but over time, I believe we will.
Well, and from what I've heard, I haven't had a chance to go yet, but a couple of people have said, well, if you want to see something, you should really consider buying a ticket because I've tried to go and things have been sold out.
That's the other thing about 41 seats is that when they're gone, they're gone. And so we showed All About My Mother, the Pedro Almodovar film, the first week that of our Wednesdays. And we actually had a Wednesday night screening and a screening the Sunday night before, and both of them sold out. I think this is definitely a venue where if there's something you really want to see, you should get advance tickets and not do walk up, because things will fill up fast. You know, not every screening has been sold out, but certainly the house is usually leans towards being full. just by virtue of the size. So yeah, if you see something, I would say if you see something on the schedule that's really enticing to you, you should get an advance ticket, which you can do through the Upstate Films website.
And is this strictly done with on a repertory basis where, like, I know with a first run film, you can decide sometimes, if you're going to extend it if it's doing really well, but a lot of times with repertory things, you only have the thing booked for a night. Is it something where if it's a film a few years older, you might have a chance to add a screening, or if it's just that's it, and make sure you see it?
It really depends on the distributor. Fortunately, Upstate Films has those long-running agreements with distributors, so they can usually get a little bit of extra flexibility. I know, some of the films they've shown have actually been, we've been able to show them a few days before they are, actually released theatrically, which has been nice. We were able to have a preview screening, preview screenings of One Battle After Another at all three theaters on the Thursday night before it came out, which was really cool. So we do have a little bit of a layer of flexibility in that. That being said, generally the repertory nights are going to be more, one screening or two screenings versus the newer theatrical movies, which will generally run like a full week or maybe even 2 weeks.
I also wanted to mention that for anyone who hasn't been by, there's a fantastic diorama in the front window done by Admiral Gray. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. So it was the idea is that there's actually a second one that is in the works right now for the other window that is should be installed within the coming weeks. The idea was the name of the theater being Upstate Midtown to have an upstate diorama and a Midtown diorama. So the one that's up right now is the Midtown version, and it actually features miniatures of the block across the street, as well as the old post office building. And then there's like a cross section under the street where it's almost like a Pee-wee's Playhouse beneath the surface kind of cross section. That's it's really fun, and there's lights in a bunch of places. Admiral actually came back yesterday and added star like a starry night at the top as
Oh,
well, which
fantastic.
also lights up. So that's a really exciting part of the project. I love I've seen so many people like walking by and just stop on a dime and look at it. And then when the second half of it is installed, I think even more so. We also actually had a neon sign installed this morning that was made by Lightbright down the street. So now we have a marquee and we have a neon Upstate Midtown sign. So this space is definitely evolving, and that's exciting too. That we have our phase one of getting everything to functionality so we could be open, and now we're kind of in the phase two of designing more of the space and like looking at things that are working and looking at things that we want to improve and changing and like. Adding more of those like art type installations that people can enjoy. It's a really fun space to and kind of a creative space for us to try different things and see what resonates with people. And the front window displays have certainly resonated with people.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, I've always been a fan of dioramas, and I love Admiral's work so much. Just the fact of the old post office being more like a ghost figure is also a really nice
Yeah.
touch. And having Tubby's on there as well, it just reminds me of how, I mean, I've been to Tubby's a lot, and it's got such a forced intimacy because that live room is so small that bands love to play there because it's a special experience, and it seems like that sort of thing is not necessarily incidental, but it seems like that's part of what you're doing here with the screening room.
Totally. I was a sound tech at Tubby's for a little while, so I got to experience some of those shows in the small room, and it is a really fantastic, unique space. And some of the bands that come there who are playing these like, 1,000-person venues in the city and then come up and play a 100-person room here. And that's so like special. It's funny, actually, I've lived in Kingston for over 6 years now, and every job that I've ever had has been on this same block. I worked at Tubby's, I worked at UPAC, and now I work at the screening room. And it's just that's my space on Broadway.
Fantastic. And you have a sense of ownership too and community from building that history.
Yeah, definitely.
What sort of things, do you have a brief sort of recap of what's coming up and what people can look forward to in the next couple of months?
So, not exactly the next couple of months. We're still building out kind of the schedule there, now that we're open. I know there will be another, at least one more week of One Battle After Another. I would expect to see some smaller first run kind of independent narrative features, probably some more first run documentaries. One thing I know that's on the schedule to be there is there's a documentary called Israel Palestine on Swedish TV that actually collects clips from, I want to say, the early 60s through the late 80s of how that conflict has been represented on in Swedish media that a Swedish documentarian did, and it looks really, really interesting. And you will continue to see those Wednesday night repertory movies from KFF. There's an eco horror series for October that I think is going to have some shows bouncing back between the Orpheum and Saugerties and Midtown. There's a couple other things in the works there too. There's been talk of a heist series. We're going to be kind of doing things monthly where it'll be a themed series of films, whether it's, a genre or a director or an actor or a decade or a location. But some kind of like loose theme to kind of program each month.
That sounds great. It sounds like a very full slate and really exciting programming.
Yeah, and it's I love also the central location. Pretty much anybody in Kingston could walk to this space on a nice enough day, which we are having some nice days right now. So it's a great opportunity to do that.
Well, thank you. I think we're just about out of time, but I thank you for taking the time. Tell us again, you're at for people who know Kingston, you're on that stretch of Broadway right next to UPAC. What's the exact address?
591 Broadway. You'll see the wood paneled front of the building. That's where we are. And you'll see the giant neon sign now.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, and I guess I'll see you at the movies.
I'll see you there. I'll be behind the counter.
So that was our conversation with Brian Whitney, manager of the newly opened Upstate Midtown Screening Room in Kingston, New York. The theater is located at 591 Broadway in Midtown Kingston, just a couple doors down from UPAC. For current showtimes, check upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Starting.